But people just run, you know. When I came to America many years ago, I lived in Staten Island for a while, and we lived with a buddy from Czech Republic in a basement, and it was infested by cockroaches. And so when I came home from work, and it was fall, it was getting dark early, so I turned the light on, you just see those cockroaches just scurrying, you know, for cover, you know, just running across the floor, and in a few seconds, you don't see any, you know, but you walk in, you turn on, oh, man, the cockroaches are scurrying for cover. And it just reminds me, it doesn't sound good, but it reminds me what people do, especially over there. You know, you shed a little bit God's light on them, you know, his word, the gospel, and they just run from the light like these cockroaches. And I'm not looking down at them. I used to be one of them, obviously. But I couldn't figure out why they do that. Eventually, I figured it out. They are so loaded with sense. Their conscience is just so, you know, so dull because they don't want to deal with it. They just run. And so after trying many things, many strategies that we learned here in States and finding out they don't work over there, we just really figured, well, all can we do is just pray, you know, and pray and see. And as we started doing more praying and less strategizing and letting God do what he does, he just leads us to people who are looking. So instead of trying to find these people through our strategies, we just really learn to listen to leading of the Holy Spirit, and he crosses our paths with people who are looking. We started about 4.5 years ago. First 2 years we worked with a local denomination, and after 2 years we concluded they're so dead, you just can't do nothing with them. They were just like a ball chained to our ankles, and so we left and went to start a church from scratch. And there were about 20 people that said they, it would be great to start a new church. They would go with us into it. And the day we opened the door, we rented a room in a hotel. 3 people showed up, you know. They were scared, the rest of them, literally. And so the first year, I taught these 3 people, you know. It was rough, you know. Rocky Mountain Calvary, which sent us there, is 3,000 people. You just can't help, you know, as much as you try, not comparing those numbers. So it was rough. But we kind of, you know, came to terms with it. And eventually the Lord started adding a few people here and there. And so today, after, you know, making some mistakes and learning from them, we do have a little church, you know. Now, to put things in perspective, the average church size over there is about 20 people. You know, there's just so few believers that average church size is 20 people. If you have 100 people church, that's a mega church over there. You know, 100 people church, that's a mega church. And so with kids, we have in attendance about 30 people on a weekly basis. Praise God. And we have about 60 some people going through us, some attend occasionally, some moved away, whatever. But we meet about 30 with kids. And so to us, that's just tremendous blessing that now we have the opportunity to pour into those lives. And just last year, God started moving more. The more we kind of gave up on trying, the more God started moving. And so last year, by a coincidence, we started 2 other Bible studies in 2 different locations. The awesome experience was in a town called Doxie. We were looking for a house. We're still looking for a house, 6 years. God never said, this is it, so we're holding back, you know. And the family, I found out, lost the house because they took a bad loan, and they signed a contract. There was a stipulation, if you are late on one payment, you lose the house. And there's a long story. There's lots of financial traps for people over there. The usury, or whatever you call it here, you know, the illegal interest rates or whatever else, it's totally illegal there, and the banks are just, you know, hunting people down like animals. So they took this bad loan and they lost their house. And so I was like, oh, I'm not going to buy the house that people lost, you know. But we talked and I told them, hey, you know, life without God is hard, you know. You see it right now, but there's a better way. You know, you can let God step into your life. Just give it a shot, you know. But you get to give him everything. You know, it the way it works, you give him all you have and he gives you all he has. You know, it's a good deal. And I offered them a Bible. I said, hey, you know, if you like, I bring you a Bible and check it out for yourself. So I brought a Bible a week later and told them, if you'd be interested, I can teach you, you know, some basics so it makes sense to you. And we offered this hundreds of times before and people just declined. So I didn't expect much. I just do my dutiful thing. You know, here's the Bible. If you'd like, we invite you to a Bible study or I come here. And what you know, a week later, they called me, so where are you? You know, we want that Bible study. And so I came there. I remember it was December 1st, 2010, with my son, and it was the biggest blizzard in ages over there that day. The devil literally, I don't know how to explain this, the devil really doing all kind of things to give us trouble there. We were going to teach the Bible study, so in that area was the biggest blizzard in years. And so we did, came, and I said, listen, I can teach this, but unless you're born again, it won't make much sense to you. So, you know, a good way to start is get right with God. And so I explained the gospel, and there were about seven people, and three people raised their hand that they prayed the sinner's prayer, and, you know, repented of their sin, and trusted Jesus as their Savior. So awesome. So we started first Bible study, and 2 weeks later, three other people, you know, and over there it's like huge numbers, you know. Normally the big established churches fish for one saved soul the whole year, you know. So within a couple of weeks, there are six born-again Christians. And this Satanist guy, ex-Satanist that you saw in the picture, the big guy, they kept witnessing to him, right? And he kept making fun of them. He would wear like all the black clothes and his wife and upside down crosses and whatever and listening to this terrible music. And so one day he agreed he would come to Bible study. He kind of planned on disturbing. And we just prayed for him with love. And God just shut his mouth the whole Bible study. And toward the end, I started pushing my luck. And somehow we ended up in Revelation, I think 21st chapter, and devil was thrown in the lake of fire, you know. I say, see, this is where your master is going to end up. Where do you think you will go, you know? He's like, you know. And shortly after that, he said he prayed, and he got saved, and his wife was one of those people already saved. So it was good. And we started another Bible study in a similar way. And so there's been like a real church going on now. Few statistics or kind of remarks. By God's doing and provision and thanks to a generous support, we've been able to become one of the largest distributors of Christian materials in the Czech Republic. You know, it doesn't mean that we're so great and big. It just says there's just so little going on there. So we found out there's like three online stores, you know, like you have Christian bookstores at every corner here. They're in the whole country. There are three online bookstores that are not totally Christian. One is Catholic, one is secular, one is kind of Christian, that sell Christian materials, among other stuff. And so we started ordering things from them that somebody translated and so on, some books and CDs and whatever, DVDs. And started giving it out for free. You know, God's been providing. And I was like, you know, this is expensive, but God's been providing. And so we've given out hundreds of Bibles, thousands of New Testaments, over 110,000 gospel tracts. And I stopped counting. You get to the point, you just don't count anymore. But at the beginning, it was like, wow, you know, this year we gave out 20,000 tracts, you know, just three or four people, you know. And so God's been, and he can do it with every one of you. You just willingly give that little that you have to offer, like we, you know. Like there's a few pieces of fish and bread, and the Lord multiplies it incredibly. And so Zita, that does the ordering, is well known now at all these three online stores, and she got like a special account and whatever else. And when she goes, like, everybody pays attention, because normally people order one DVD or one little book. Zita goes by bulk, you know. Like when Zita calls, it's a big business. And so we pay for it from, you know, what God already paid for, and then we give it out for free. And it's awesome. And we have this thing we call Expensive Gospel Tracks. It's a Christian videos, DVDs. I don't know if you know the Flywheel. You know, it's kind of older movie. You probably all know Fireproof. Fireproof. The most atheist country in the world. But God is just so awesome. These companies, because they want to be very competitive, they want to cover every genre. So even though they are atheists, they carry Christian movies, you know. And then they have a little studio where they dub them. And we have about five Christian DVDs like this, and they are dubbed with this, by the same people. You know, it's about six, seven people, and so we have the same voices all the time, you know. The main hero is always the same voice. But they do a fairly good job. And so we've been able to get these Christian DVDs to people, because they are so far from God and so much in the darkness. These DVDs, they are expensive, but they are the most effective way to get across to them, you know, through a relatable story. And there's a gospel message in it, you know. What's the name of the DVD with Skip Heitzig in it? The Last Flight, if you saw it. The Last Flight? Skip Heitzig has a little shot in it as a pastor. It's about a missionary that was in South America in some drug dealer dangerous zone and so on, and her ex-boyfriend rescued her, and they got back together. He got saved. They got married. Happy end. But it was pretty realistic. You know, it was a good story. Well written, well filmed. And so these are the things we are able to give them. Or the one about the mountain climbers. What's an English name for it? Speak up. The Climb. If you guys seen The Climb, you go see it. It's a great movie. Black guy, white guy, going climbing some big mountain in South America. Very entertaining, but there's a serious gospel in it, you know. And so I don't want to get on a tangent with these here, but we really love these because they are a very effective way to share the gospel with people there. So we kind of pray and let the Lord lead us to which people we should give it. You know, we don't give it to everybody, obviously. And so we're planting the seeds with all the possible ways. We recorded four Christian worship CDs. We're working on the fifth one. You could probably notice I'm a little rusty on worship because with this hand, I haven't played for a couple of months and I couldn't even move it. Like when they took off all the bandaging, I just could do this. You know, that's all I could do. First thing I was able to do about a month after they took off all the bandages was lead worship. You know, first thing I was able to do with it. So how great is our God, you know? I want to share that. And so, talking about my hand, there are battles, like you saw in the presentation, and sometimes the devil really cannot, you know, he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and we all got to watch out, you know, we cannot just let him to lull us to sleep. Once in a while, he comes and just smacks you with a 2x4 from behind, you know, and so this last time he did it was the hand, and I didn't realize how really serious that was until after all that happened. I started meeting people who were talking to me. They knew someone who actually died from this, from a septic shock, you know. The bug multiplies so quickly, it dissolves your body from the inside. And once your organs swell, you're done. And it can happen within a matter of days. You know, there's a person here in America somewhere that died 2 days after they get this poisoning. You know, it's so you never know. It goes really quick. So I'm realizing it was really God's mercy that I'm not only alive, but I can use my hand. I get like 80% use back. And so great reason to praise the Lord We feel like he started a new chapter or new season in our ministry over there. And we don't want to hold our breath. It's a difficult ground. You know, we spent like first 5 years just plowing and sowing. You know, first 4 or 5 years we focus on evangelism and giving out all those gospel tracts and all this literature. But we've been starting reaping a little bit, so we're shifting the focus a little bit from evangelism to discipleship and teaching more the word. And God so blessed me that before we left, I taught the Bible 6 days a week. It was like, wow, that's almost too much. We started, we had this Bible study in Poděbrady that's been going on for a while. Then on Wednesday, we started men's discipleship group in Doxy per their own request. I mean, how can you decline if people come and ask, you know? Then on Thursday, I had a Bible study in that town Doxy, the one I told you about, that 6 people got saved within a couple of weeks. Friday, we have Bible study in Roudnice, and Saturday, we have men's discipleship in Roudnice. You know, God kind of laid on my heart, Saturday night, some guys get really tempted to go and get stupid. And as I say, you know, let's play a tough game. We'll have a men's discipleship on Saturday night instead of drinking beer in a bar somewhere. You know, how about it? Okay. And then Sunday night worship. So that's been awesome. And how much time do I have actually?
About 15 minutes.
15 minutes. Okay, so let's get down to some serious stuff. While I was in the hospital, I had much to think about. You know, I was 9 days just laying on a bed and just walking to the restroom every 2 hours. You know, they gave me some drugs. Well, they gave me all kind of drugs. And just me and the Lord and the Bible. And there are many things that got resolved. You know, when I was at my lowest, God worked the most. And we resolved a bunch of old problems, conflicts, whatever else. One of the things was, while I was in the hospital, one lady with a bad mouth started kind of taking the church apart, so I fired her from the hospital. We don't normally do that. I was like, you're fired. It's like, you know, I don't know what this is going to turn out, so let's not play games. Find a different fellowship. See you later. And so that put an end, you know, to splitting the church. We found one really hard thing. I'll share that. My wife called me about the fourth day. I was in the hospital recovering that our son, we pray with our children every night, obviously. And so he fessed up. He said, I cannot keep it in any longer. I got to confess this. And he said that 2 years ago, during the church, a 13-year-old boy sexually abuse him in the restroom, you know, right during the church service. It's like incredible. So it's like, God, I'm out of here. You know, this is Sodom. I'm out of here. And then we kind of thought and prayed about this, and I say, you know, we'll be here despite of it, but Lord, you protect our kids, you know. I don't know why God allowed this to happen. You know, it was right during the church service, like Satan laughing in your face and saying like, what you think you're doing? You think you're planning a little church and teaching your little Bible here? Look what I'll do. You know, I mess up your kids so bad. You know, you'll be so busy with that. And I think there's been quite a bit of healing with my son that transferred already. He used to be very aggressive, and we kind of wondered why. We think this was how he was dealing with it. And so I wanted to ask you, remember praying for our kids, you know, or any missionary kids. And since that happened, we found out it's not unusual that actually it happens to missionary kids. They get sexually abused by someone. You know, devil just goes for what's most precious to you. You know, he just hits where it hurts. So the hand was bad enough, but there are much worse things that the devil can do to you. And we wrestled with this. Obviously, God allowed it. And I still don't know why God allowed it. One reason may be to alert us to be really, really careful. So we have a strange policy since then, like kids cannot go to a restroom together. You know, you just don't know. And it's so morally corrupt, that society, that first graders, second graders do things you could never think they would do in a first or second grade. I thought that we will deal with sexual issues when they hit their teens, you know, and we had to start dealing with it now. You know, he's 8. We already had to have a little talk about what the boys and girls are for. So it doesn't come from the friends. You know, it's incredible there. It's morally very loose. And I think devil has done lots of damage through the pornography on the internet. We have an 18-year-old boy he's 18 now. He got saved when he was 15. And he told us that he's been so hardened through the pornography that he's been watching since he was 12 or 11, that about a year later, you know, the kids just want to be entertained, especially over there. It's all about just being entertained. They don't want to think about how to contribute to society. They just want to be entertained, and society supports that. You know, it's a bad way how they absolutely don't prepare kids for life. On the contrary, they teach them to do drugs, sex, and alcohol. That's all the society pushes there and promotes. It's horrible. And he got so hardened that in order to be entertained, he started watching murders, live murders on the internet. I didn't even know that you could find such things on the internet. And please don't go and look at it now, you know. And so he's been dealing with this ever since. And he never got over the hump. He's got a hard heart. You know, he goes to church. He tries. He kind of, you know, walks, then he backslides, he walks. Right now he's backsliding. And he's just got a hard heart from this stuff. And so maybe it's something even for you, you know. We cannot allow to assume that our kids are okay when we're not with them. I get to the point I'm assuming they are not okay when I'm not with them, you know. And while we cannot shelter them from everything, we get to be very, very vigilant. And so please pray especially for the missionary kids, ours or any missionaries. Because I knew all along that there is nothing good in devil. You know, sometimes people underestimate how evil he is. There's nothing good in him. You know, he's pure evil. You know, there's some charismatics that have a talk with devil and they negotiate with their baloney. There's no good thing in him. He's pure evil. All he has in mind is destruction, you know, destruction of souls. And we get to be vigilant. You know, in this corrupt society, especially over there, he got many avenues how to corrupt the young generation. And that leads me to the kind of meat of today. the main verse the Lord laid on my heart while in a hospital. You know, my life was kind of, you know, you heard the term, you're kind of the bottom fell out, you know. It's kind of how I felt when I was in the hospital with all this going on. And I decided to go to back, you know, like when David's, you know, he was depressed and he was saying, well, I just remember the good days, you know, when I went in front of the procession and was praising the Lord. So I remember the good old days when I got first saved and I started reading the Bible from cover to cover. And so I said, hey, I'm in a hospital, I got plenty of time. I just started reading Bible from cover to cover. Started with Genesis and still keep going at it. And one thing I was reminded of, you know, beginning Exodus with, you know, Exodus 20, 10 commandments, and you go to Leviticus and Numbers. It's really the emphasis, the main thing is about that God is holy. And he wants his people to be holy. You know, whether it was Jews then, whether it's his church now, he is holy and he wants his people to be holy. You know, people reiterated it in his first chapter, verses 16, 1 Peter 1, 16, 17. You know, be holy because I am holy. And as I read through Genesis, I came to chapter 17 and I read, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. I am Almighty God. Your devil can try his bag of tricks, but he's not Almighty God. I am. No, I am Almighty God. You know, let's not forget that. He's Almighty. And he says to Abraham, walk before me and be blameless. He didn't give him 12 steps to good Christianity or whatever. He didn't give him 10 steps to good church planting. He gave him two things. Walk before me and be blameless. That's it. And then he followed, verse 2. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. So I'm reading this and I'm saying, Lord, so am I just reading here about your conversation with Abraham, or are you speaking to me? You know, it was very obvious he was relating that to me. And just these words stand out. I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. Two things. Well, three things. Don't forget, I'm Almighty God. You know, don't forget that. And what you do, two things. Walk before me and be blameless. That's it. No prosperity gospel, no church growth movement, no sophisticated strategies how to lure in the people from the street, you know, like movies with hot dogs and beer or whatever, you know. And it's not to say that, you know, we should be resourceful in our evangelistic endeavors like you guys have been, you know, it's been awesome, you know, the whatever, you invited that famous hunter and ate some great, you know, food, hopefully dead. I assume it was dead. and telecast with, what's his name? I'm so brain dead. Yeah, with Greg Laurie. I started getting over the jet lag and the antibiotics and all this. I'm on a big mess, so Lord, whatever. The mind keeps switching off and on. So no difficult approach. Very simple. Walk before me and be blameless. As simple as it is, it's hard to do, right? Who is blameless? Nobody. But we read in the Bible that God wants to confirm us to the image of his Son, right? And he is blameless. He is sinless. And so we're striving. We're striving for that. And I don't know how it is here these days. In Czech Republic, there are a few churches, you know, and we know about them, obviously. But they are either dead or semi-dead. And I don't want to sound like we got it all figured out, but they're just really bad, you know. If they are bad, you got to say that. They're bad, you know. It's not politically correct to say if somebody is bad, that he's actually bad. I'm just saying the truth, you know. They're bad. And the thing is, the love and the grace. And those are good things. But if you talk about nothing but love and grace, then you're not balanced. You know, you're going to topple. And so I struggled with this for a while. It's like, God, how do we, you know, love, selfless love, whatever. It's great. It's important. We need to teach it. We need to practice it in our lives. Grace, we received it from the Lord. We give it to others. But I realized, I don't know about you, but I have a sinful nature, okay? And that sinful nature likes to abuse grace. I don't know about you, my sinful nature, when somebody shows me a little too much of grace, I'm going to take advantage of it until the conscience stirs up, the Holy Spirit stirs it up, and then I kind of balance it out. And so I've been thinking about this, praying, dealing with it, and I realized this is like this. Coin has two sides. So one side of the coin is grace and love, God's grace and his love. But there's another side of the coin that's his holiness and the judgment that's coming because of his holiness, because of the sin. That means the opposite of holiness. And so in Czech Republic, the Christians are out of balance because they're all about love and grace, nothing about holiness. Everybody wants to do what they want to do, so they don't care about holiness. But what God told Abraham, he said, be blameless, be holy. You know, be holy because I am holy. And so God's been speaking to me a lot about it. And I have a lot of room for improvement in my life, you know, in terms of holiness. My wife could write volumes about my unholiness. And there's this thing, you cannot stay at one spot. You either become more holy or you become more unholy. That's my personal opinion. I may be wrong, but the way it works in my life, and I observe it in other lives, as you move toward Jesus, you become more holy. If you don't move toward Jesus, you cannot stay at the same place. You start backsliding. People don't even know it. The funny thing is, people, when they backslide, they don't know they backslide sometimes. You know, when they figure it out, they're in a big mess already, you know. And so my conclusion on these thoughts was, what it's all about is, for us, it's kind of simplistic, but I'm a simple guy. If I sum up Christianity in one sentence, it's a holy relationship with holy God. You know, it's a holy relationship with holy God. You know, we have all kind of a sometimes emotional sermons and whatever else, and people want to feel good. It's not that all of that is all bad. The bottom line is, God wants to have with us holy relationship. You know, that's why we started standing out more and more like a like a cult over there in Czech Republic. Because the more the main, how would you say that? It's not like the main flow of the church. What would you think? It's the backslidden main flow of the church. They don't want to deal with holiness. You know, they want to live the way they please. And so it's a hypocritical, superficial Christianity. And what we've seen over there, you can only as much succeed as a Christian as much as you cultivate your holy relationship with the Lord. People who are one foot in the world, one foot in the church, it's only a matter of time until they have both feet back in the world and out of the church. And how we maintain that holy relationship with holy God, it's simple. We all know it, but do we do it? Feeding on His Word. You know, how else can I do it? I have to feed my soul. I cannot feed my soul with nothing but His Word. You know, it's our daily bread. And we spent last night at the camp. I cannot see the complicated name, you know, I'm Czech. So Camp West, and it's something like, I'd rather have Jesus Camp. And it's great how much effort they put into, you know, the kids memorizing the verses and emphasizing how important it is to study God's Word and know it. The better we know it, the better we are equipped. And so even though this is preaching to the choir here, I think it's never enough of reminding ourselves we really need to do our best with feeding our souls on His Word. How do I keep from backsliding? Abiding in Jesus, John 15. How do I do that? Obeying His commands. John 15, 10, 14. You are my friends if you do what I command. You know. And what we deal with in Czech Republic, and you probably not much different here, that there's this growing momentum in a church. Just have this easy, feel-good Christianity. Make sure it doesn't cost me anything. You know, that kind of Christianity. I just go to church when I feel like it. When I want to sleep in, I just sleep in. And then I'm surprised, why am I such a mess here? What happened? Well, what happened? You didn't feed your soul with the Word, and you made mistakes. Why you made mistakes? Because you were not led by the Spirit, because your soul was weak. I mean, your spirit was weak, was not fed well, and the devil took you down. And so in that hospital, not that it would be anything new, but God just heightened that importance to encourage each other to feed our soul on His Word. Daily. You know, the church in the New Testament, we read in Acts, they met daily. I sometimes say that to those Czechs, you know. It's a process to get them from this worldly system when they go and watch or play soccer on a Sunday morning. You know, devil has it so well arranged. The soccer is a big thing over there, like football here. And so the guys are with the soccer on a Sunday morning instead of in church, you know. And it takes some process, some time to teach people so that they realize, hey, if I'm a Christian, I cannot go play soccer on Sunday. I get to make a decision. You know, it's either soccer or the Lord, or, you know, my spiritual life, basically. And when I was in the Numbers, I ran into this passage in Numbers 15. Numbers 15, what precedes to the passage is talking about presumptuous sin. Just one of the many points, how much God wants his people to be holy. You know, he had this whole system of sacrifices in the Old Testament. And when the Jews sinned, it was no small deal. You know, he had to go to his flock, pick up, you know, either lamb or a bull or whatever, according to his sin, without blemish. He had to sacrifice that. He had to make a restitution very often for his sin in a value of that sacrifice on top of it. And there was the whole ritual, you know, going along with it. That would teach people try not to sin, right? How much grace we have when we don't have to do this today. But there's another thing that occurred to me. In Czech Republic, there's a lot of talk about grace, and to an extent it's good, but you can overdo even the grace if it's out of balance. And we kind of work with one denomination, and their name is Greater Grace. You know, so what you expect? Every time they teach about grace. Like, come on, guys, but it's great, but there's more to God than grace. So God allowed us in our lives to kind of give it some thought. And so after some thinking and praying, it came to me. It's like, this is how it is. While we need the Lord's grace, we need to show grace to each other. We can only appreciate God's grace as much as we understand his holiness. If you don't understand how holy God is, we won't be even able to appreciate how great is his grace toward us. And we just live like pigs because there's not much appreciation. So if I want to live a holy life, I start with understanding how holy God is. And I cannot really understand that fully. I can keep learning more and more, you know, how holy God really is. And if you guys haven't been lately in the books of Moses, I really want to encourage you. Start with Exodus, you know, or at least if you are busy, do Numbers. You just see how big deal it is to God when his people sin. And it was all about teaching them not to sin. And when you start reading all the rituals, all the sacrifices, how much it cost them for one sin. You know, now how many sins we commit in a week? Man, if the Jews committed that many sins as we do, they go break. They have no herd. We sacrifice it all. You know? Gets you thinking how much grace we got, how much easier we have it, also how much easier it is for us to abuse the grace. You know, my sinful nature wants to abuse God's grace. That's why I get to be reminded of his holiness, not only from books of Moses, you know, the whole Bible is about it, but here in Numbers or in Leviticus, you really see in detail how much it is important to God. So, don't want to make this any more complicated. First Samuel, oh, this passage, I read it to you, I get on a tangent. So, God was talking about presumptuous sin. All the sacrifices, here's the point, were about unintentional sin. If you sinned unintentionally, meaning you're not familiar with something, you didn't mean it ever, whatever, it wasn't intentional, you had to go with all these sacrifices that God prescribed. If you sinned intentionally, you were to be killed. You know, this is how holy God was. You know, Numbers 15:30, but the person who does anything presumptuously, whether he is native born or a stranger, that one brings reproach on the Lord. And he shall be cut off from among his people. What does it mean, cut off? Let's go to verse 35. You know, best way to interpret the Bible is with the help of the Bible. Verse 35, then the Lord said to Moses, the man must surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him, with stones outside the camp. So when you run in the Old Testament across the term cut off, it mostly means just plainly be killed, and specifically, most likely stoned for willful sin. How many of us sin willfully? You know, if you lived in this time, we would not live very long. This is how holy God is, and how much he wants us to be holy. This is how much grace we have now. I should be dead million times over, you know. And oftentimes, we don't appreciate the grace because we don't understand how holy is God. How can we appreciate that? The following passage, Numbers 15:39 or 38. So the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the children of Israel, tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations," you know, every generation, "and to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corners. And you shall have the tassels that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and talk about them." No. "And do them. "And that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined." You know, when I read it years ago, several times, it didn't quite kick in. This time it did. Why are we to memorize God's word? You know, they had the tassels. Like we put, you know, the little cards on the mirror and wherever else, or on a steering wheel, "Don't speed," or whatever. better verses than "Don't speed." That we would remember God's commandments. I mean, you know, for us, the whole scripture, you know, the more we remember, the better. Why? That we would not follow the harlotry to which our own hearts and eyes are inclined. You know, in flesh, we are just wretched people, as it true. And Jeremiah put it in a good perspective, Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things," you know, "and desperately wicked." There are plenty of scriptures in Old Testament that warn us about not following the counsel of our own heart. You know, heart is emotions. Sometimes it's good, but it's not reliable. That's why we need to lean on leading of the Holy Spirit, not on our own heart. How we do that? If we abide in Jesus, how we do that? If we feed on his word. So thank you guys for your attention. It was a lesson for me in Czech Republic that we're trying to stay alive there spiritually, and hopefully it will help you too. And so let's pray that God will help us kind of put these things also to practice. So Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ here in Grand Junction. I just pray for all of us, Lord, that we would take these words to heart, that we would be vigilant and make great effort in feeding on your word. May we thus abide in Jesus, follow his commandments. May we show to each other not only grace, but also live holy lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's, before we sing this last song, let's...
She doesn't, but she will.
Okay, that's good. A humble wife. That's fine. Sure, you can stay down there. I'm more holy than you because I took my sandals off and we're on holy ground here.
I'm humbled now.
No, I mean, we talk about it all the time as far as the, you know, the three parts of our salvation. You know, we've been justified just as if we'd never sinned. We'll be glorified in the future. When we stand before the Lord and see him face to face, and that's based on everything the Lord has done for us. We are holy because we're in Christ, and that's the only place we can stand is in Christ. But really what Milan is sharing about and what's so important in the here and now is that we are in that sanctification process where we put off the old garments day by day, put off the things of the flesh, renew your mind day by day, and as he was sharing, you do that through the Word of God. And it's so important to spend that time in God's Word and letting the Holy Spirit refresh you, renew you, replenish you, strengthen you as you spend that time in His Word, in prayer, allowing the Spirit to continually cleanse your heart and renew your mind. And God is faithful, even when we're not. And it's so awesome that we need that balance, the grace, and just knowing that we are flesh. I can't do it. I'm not holy, but Jesus is perfect in every way, and He will present us to the Father, spotless and blameless. And that is so important. And that does keep us from backsliding when we realize how awesome He is. And may the love of God constrain us, as Paul says, to continue to fight the good fight, stay in course, and to keep the faith so we come across that finish line victoriously. So let's pray for these guys and their family. It's been a rough road, but the Lord is gracious, the Lord is faithful, and the Lord is setting them apart for a very special work in the Czech Republic, in Slovakia. So let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for this time together tonight. We thank You for Your grace and Your mercy and Your love upon us. We thank You, Lord, that You are holy in every way. And Lord, apart from You, we can do nothing. And we can only do all things through Christ Jesus, because it's You, Lord, who strengthen us. And so, Lord, in our feeble condition, in our weak state, in our brokenness, Lord, even as Milan was broken before You in the hospital, may we just lay our lives down before You as a living sacrifice day by day, denying ourselves, taking up our cross daily, and following You. Lord, we are weak, but You're strong. And we thank You, Lord, for Your powerful right arm that upholds us and strengthens us and carries us along in those difficult days. And Lord, I pray that Your body would be strong and holy. Lord, that we would be separate from the things of this world that are trying to entice us, that are trying to pull us back into the world. And Lord, we see it all around us. We see so many Christians, even in our fellowship, they get caught up in the things of the world, the flesh, and the lies of the enemy, and they get pulled down. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be used by You, even as You're using Milan and Zita over in Czech Republic to rescue those who are caught up in the sins of this world. You'd use us, Lord, to reach out to our struggling brothers and sisters and help pull them out of that pit. Lord, that You would use us as instruments in Your hands to proclaim the good news, the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And Lord, I just thank You for Milan and Zita. Pray that You would knit their hearts together with Your heart. I pray, Lord, that You would put a hedge of protection around them and their children. Lord, we thank You for Daniel, and we thank You for Karis. Lord, we know they are precious children in Your sight. And Lord, we just pray that You would, again, protect them and heal their hearts, Lord, as only You can. And Lord, may You multiply abundantly the harvest there in the Czech Republic in the coming weeks, months, and years. Until You come for us, Lord, may we be about the Father's business. Lord, just continue to supply all of their needs according to Your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And it's in Your holy name that we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to close in a song, and let's go out with joy. Check out the table out in the foyer, and you can talk to either Milan or Zita about the materials they have out there and how you can pray for them and encourage them. Amen.
Purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Bye.
Desire. We want to be set apart. We don't want the things of this world to pull us back and pull us down and hinder us. But even as Hebrews tells us, Lord, we're to cast off any weight, any hindrance, Lord, that keeps us from running that race and staying on course. Lord, we know that the devil is constantly trying to put obstacles in our path, trying to trip us up, cause us to lose focus in these days in which we live. And so, Father, we thank you for the word of exhortation we heard tonight. We thank you that you are perfect in every way, and you love us intimately. And, Lord, we thank you that it's your kindness that leads us to repentance. And I pray, Father, that we would never take your grace for granted. Lord, we want to walk more like Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great evening, a great week with the Lord. If you can check out to the table in the foyer, that would be great. If you need prayer, come on down. We'd love to pray with you and encourage you in Christ. Amen.